Just a quick note before we get started this week. This episode does contain quite a lot of naughty words, so do bear that in mind in case there's any little people listening with you. Children, that is, not elves, because as you'll find out later on, the elves have got some of the dirtiest language you've ever heard anyway. So, yeah, don't worry about them.
Ho, ho, ho! Welcome to the Failing Writers Christmas Special. It's a cracker. Because once you've opened it, you'd be disappointed by what's inside. And you're guaranteed crap jokes. But you don't get a hat. So actually, it's worse than a cracker. Sorry about that.
Ho, 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 ho!
Hey, everybody!
Welcome to our Christmas party!
Don't step on your toes, Dave, as the official beatboxer, but that was a party blower.
That was a really good, that was a great
Thank
party
you.
Blower.
It was very good.
I heard it unravel.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
that
you.
Was really
hey.
Good.
Hey, Tommy, hey, Birdie, have you got a drink?
I've finished my Christmas drink, and it was only a cup of tea.
Aww. So have you got some beige food?
Not yet.
Spread out on a table, on a trestle.
Yeah, on a trestle table. It's not been properly secured.
Excellent. Wobbly trestle.
That's it. It's party yeah. time. We're ready.
All we need is an alcoholic middle-aged Santa now, I
yeah.
believe.
We just need to mull something. What can we mull?
Well, later on, Dave, you're going to bloody love this segue, Dave. Later on, we're going to be mulling over our top 10 tunes that we've had
that,
in the podcast.
I think series. That might be my favourite segue of the entire series.
And yeah, so we've put together a top 10 countdown, and we've actually managed to rope in a massive name to help us
yeah.
do it, which is
yeah.
ridiculous, really.
One of the nation's foremost DJs of any mm. era, of any
yeah,
era,
totally.
I would say.
Specifically the era where we used to sit and tape the top
right.
10 countdown.
On a cassette.
Yeah.
And you have it paused with record mm. down. You'd have to do it really gently, because otherwise you got that... sound
yeah.
as you did
you'd
it.
You'd be there for four
right.
hours.
And you'd pray that the DJ wouldn't talk over the end too
always
much.
Always bloody did.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we've got that coming up. But first, Christmas isn't Christmas without pantomime time.
Yeah, we've actually got a pantomime.
Yep.
And I think it's quite a spectacular production.
It is. I think we've billed it as a spectacular, haven't we?
So that's what you do on the pantomime. That's what you do on the post, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we've missed out on is getting some C-list celebrity from a
yeah.
TV show
yeah.
that no one no longer watches.
What we don't have is Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, that
don't
kind
have
of thing.
Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, yeah. Or Letitia Dean that played Sharon in EastEnders.
or Harold from Neighbours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't have him.
Any of them.
We don't have Billy Pierce.
No. But we have got Oz.
We have.
And we have got a panto,
yeah,
what
yeah.
Dave has written,
yeah.
which I think is actually one of the best things he's ever written.
It is probably the
best
thing I have
absolutely
ever written.
Brilliant.
The best thing was he sent it to
life.
Us and went, oh, right, you know what I said about the panto? I've done that. I've just literally just written
it. Just tossed this off, yeah.
I've just shit it out. It's terrible, but we'll need to change it. And both me and John read it and went, bloody good, that. What do you mean change? What are we changing here? Like, what's the... That's done. Yeah, done
so
deal.
So this is it. This is not only is it our Christmas panto, this is the pinnacle, the zenith of my writing career right here. So, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Don't have to stay tuned too long, Dave, because...
Yeah. I mean, it's literally about to start.
Yeah, stay tuned until now.
Ladies yep. and gentlemen, please take your seats. The performance of tonight's pantomime is about to begin. The Failing Writers Podcast kindly presents The Elves and the Scriptwriters.
It's Christmas Eve, one day of reprieve, before the house turns into Hamley, stuffed with tat and too much family. We'll sit and have a TV session, be forced to watch Strictly Christmas Special. Aunties clapping, granddad's napping, mum's on her knees, last minute rapping. It's Christmas Eve, there's a plan up Santa's sleeve. We'll watch him on the NORAD tracker. Poor old bugger must be knackered. The kids are hyped, but they've changed their list. Auntie's singing, mum is pissed. Dad's putting out old Santa's whiskey, hanging mistletoe cause he's feeling frisky. It's Christmas Eve, we forgot our Uncle Steve. We were gonna send him a woolly hat. Never mind, he's a bit of a twat. Kids are finally nodding their heads. Thank God we can go to bed. Dad leans in, finally gets his kiss. Now turn off the tree lights, they're a fire risk. It's Christmas Eve, I'm starting to believe that this might be the greatest moment. Just pray we don't get the latest variant of COVID.
Once upon a time, there lived an old man and an old woman. Like really old, like with big elephant ears and hairs growing from really distracting places old. And yet, despite living in the world's sixth largest economy, they were really poor. Why? Well, partly due to an intrinsically unfair social care system, and partly because they were scriptwriters. And as we all know, scriptwriters don't get paid nearly enough.
Hey, if we don't sell a script soon,
said the old woman,
we probably won't survive the winter.
Maybe we could use some sort of application that utilises, you know, artificial intelligence to come up with some ideas for us.
Well, I thought of that, but unfortunately machine learning is still a good 150 years off. We need something now.
But with no ideas forthcoming and their last lump of coal crumbling to ash on the fire, they decided to go to bed.
Yeah, maybe something will come to us at night,
the old man muttered.
What, like flatulence?
My wandering hands. Sort of. And then we can write up a treatment in morning.
He laid his lucky pen down on the writing desk next to their very last sheet of paper, and off they went to sleep. The next morning, the scriptwriters woke early. Well, it was bin day, and they always made such a racket collecting the recycling from that alky couple next door. They went to the front room, and to their surprise, they saw that the sheet of paper had been covered with line after line of the cutest, smallest, neatest little handwriting they ever did see.
What does it say, love? I've not got me readers.
I don't believe it. It's a treatment for a bloody Hollywood blockbuster, hey? And it's pretty good. At least the break into Act 2 happens on exactly page 25, which is a very good sign, apparently.
Just then, the little bell at the front of the shop, yeah, it's a script shop, just go with it, rang out, and a rich-looking gentleman entered.
Good day to you. I have a highfalutin meeting this morning with a bunch of movie executives, and I desperately need a script. A real wham-dam-a-ding-dong blockbuster, if you have one.
Ooh. Oh, I'm afraid we're fresh out.
What's that in your hand?
Oh, this,
said the old man.
It's a treatment.
Let me see that.
The rude young gentleman snatched up the paper and started to read it.
You know what? This isn't bad. The writing's a little small, but the concept is big. I'll take it.
He flipped the scriptwriter a gold coin and strode from the room, calling,
if they like the treatment, I'll be back tomorrow for some pages.
The scriptwriters couldn't believe their luck. The old man instantly rushed out and bought two sheets of paper. The old woman said she'd have preferred a ham sandwich or maybe an electric blanket.
Oh, would have preferred a ham sandwich or an electric blanket.
But this was the olden days and women didn't really count back then. Just as before, the old man laid the fresh sheets of paper on the writing desk and off they went to bed. Technically, it was still the morning, but let's just keep the pace going, shall we? The next day, both sheets of paper were once again filled with rows and rows of cute little handwriting. They were overjoyed.
Are you sure you're not having me on? Did you write this? You did get up a lot in night,
the old woman asked.
We went to bed at 10:30 in the morning. I'm an old man. If I didn't get up, we'd both be swimming in piss.
Just then, the dear little bell tinkled once more and in strode the rude young man.
Hey, guys, good news. They loved it. We've got a real hit on our hands. There's even talk of getting Matt Damon on board. Or, if we don't have the budget, I know a guy who kind of looks like him. Now, where are those pages?
The young man greedily snatched up the pages and squinted at the words.
Christ, the writing's even smaller than before. I can barely read it. Still, I'm sure it's amazing. Keep them coming. I'll be back tomorrow.
He flipped two gold coins onto the shop floor and skipped off down the road. The old woman, with some difficulty, picked up the coins and handed them to her husband.
I really hate that guy. Makes me glad we never had kids.
Oh, I hear that. I hear that.
Now, this time, will you please get us something to eat? I'm chuffing starving.
The old man took the coins and hurried off to the shops. He returned a few minutes later with 3 sheets of paper and a handful of beans.
Now, the man said if we plant these, they'll grow a magical beanstalk that will...
Oh, delicious,
said the old woman.
Oh, bloody hell. Right, well, we best go to bed then, eh?
The old man laid the 3 fresh white sheets of paper on the desk and started up the stairs.
Hang on.
The old woman stopped him.
Don't you want to know who's been writing these scripts for us?
Not really, no. As long as they keep doing it, who cares?
Oh, don't be such a misery guts, you old bastard. Come on, let's hide.
And so the 2 old codgers hid themselves behind a pile of dusty BAFTAs at the back of the room. Well, they were Scottish BAFTAs, so, you know, really not very hard to win. Anyway, they stood there waiting for hours until, eventually, at midnight... The door opened just a crack, and in jumped 3 tiny elves, all dressed in rags.
Right, chaps, you got any good ideas?
Yeah. I've got some bloody brilliant ideas.
Have you?
Give us a pen.
All right, there you go.
Jesus Christ, I forgot how big they were. Bloody hell! Right, hang on.
I'd have thought about some 19th century romantic poets who turn into zombies.
Oh, of course you're dead. Come on, no.
No?
No.
No, not far-fetched enough. All right, yeah, okay.
Think bigger.
Yeah, okay, they need to be riding horses, don't they?
That's more like it, yeah.
Yeah, horses, spaceships.
All right, there you go.
With horns on.
Horses and spaceships, that's what we're gonna do. With ostrich feather umbrellas.
Who's this chap here? where are you from?
Where are you from?
I'm a Scottish elf.
I thought so. I thought so when you started speaking like that. I thought, yeah, there you go. He's a Scottish elf.
To the old bugger's amazement, the elf sat down on the desk, picked up the pen and started writing.
Woohoo! Right, it's writing time.
Yeah, let's get some ideas down.
Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, my rags are riding up.
Oh dear, let me just pull that down. There you go.
Oh, you just can't get rags that fit properly these days. Spaceships.
Explosions.
Who's your favourite romantic poet?
Bungle. Bungle off Rainbow.
Bungle, right? Yeah, so Bungle was writing a poem on a spaceship. Just write this down.
Oh my God, it's flowing now, isn't it?
Yeah, you see, this is how it goes. This is great stuff. This is good. This is good.
And then, what if George were dressed up as Barbarella?
Yeah. On a spaceship.
Riding horses.
That's about to explode. Get writing. Get writing.
Yes.
By morning... The 3 sheets were filled with more tiny little writing. The rude young man arrived, paid 3 gold coins for the pages, and the old man bought 4 sheets of paper, and then 5, and then 6, and so on, you get the idea, until at last, after however many days it would take to reach 120 pages, you work it out. The old couple watched from the wings as the 3 little elf writers finally reached the end of the script.
Oh, that's good. That is good. I tell you, lads, that is an award winner, that is. That really is.
Wait a minute. We haven't finished yet. There's something we've forgotten to do.
The end.
There we go. That's it.
Perfect. You don't think that big explosion at the end was too much, do you?
No, because the big explosion just before that kind of preempted it, didn't it? Kind of laid out the groundwork for it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can't have it be in a dream every time. This time, somebody's got to blow up.
Good point. This is going to make us rich.
I think this is the best thing that any bugger's ever written.
Come on, lads. Let's have a little hug.
Oh, you little...
Hey, back in.
Oh, sorry.
Knowing it was finally over, the old pair came out to give their thanks.
Oh, you lovely little sexy elves. You have saved us from ruin. How can we ever thank you?
Well, I was thinking it would be really nice if... first of all, I'd like some new threads, because I'm pretty certain these rags have got fleas in them, and I've been scratching like a bastard for weeks. So what I would like is a gold lamé suit.
Yeah, some fresh crepes. Beautiful. Do you know what I've always wanted? A tattoo on my bum.
What?
Claire Balding's face on my left cheek.
You did say anything.
What about you?
I would like a house made out of Toblerone, please, and a horse called George.
Hang on a minute, would that be a house made out of lots of sticks of Toblerone? Or would it be a giant triangle of Toblerone hollowed out into a house?
Yes.
I think it matters, structurally speaking, which one you go for, doesn't it?
It does. One's going to last longer than the other.
All right. Well, I don't think that a gold lame suit is enough now. I'd also like some sort of mode of transport so that I can drive around. You know, one of them cars that bounces up and down on the suspension, like in them rap videos. I wouldn't mind one of them, but also with a number of different cup holders.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a jet ski as well, please? Thank you.
If he's getting a jet ski, I want jets as well. I want a jet pack.
Yeah, slightly odd requests,
said the old woman.
But no matter, as soon as we receive our final payment, we shall get your heart's desire. Now piss off and come back tomorrow.
The little elves skipped off happily, and just in time, for at that moment, the young man returned for the final pages.
Right,
he said as he handed over a bag full of gold coins.
This is it, folks. The big moment. To be honest with you, the writing has been getting so small I haven't even read it yet, but I've got someone with a microscope who's going to transcribe it for us. We got the big meeting tonight, and tomorrow, all being well, we'll get the green light.
As he left, the old man and the old woman took a moment of somber reflection.
Do you know, I was thinking we should take this money and place it in an ISA so it can give us a steady stream of income to help us through our twilight years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could do that, or we could go down casino, blow it all in a blaze of glory.
Oh,
hey, we're rich. Yeah. Rich, I bloody tell you. bloody rich. Let's go.
The next morning, the old couple awoke on the shop floor with terrible hangovers. The three little elves were laying there with them. They'd arrived at midnight, as usual, to find the party in full swing and decided to join in.
Oh, my bloody head.
Oh, my God. Oh. What the bloody hell did I drink last night?
Oh, was that a cocktail with the bleach in? That was bloody awful, wasn't it?
How did that get in there? Oh, I don't bear thinking about...
I can't feel my legs.
Now, with heads that felt like they were going to explode and mouths that tasted of wrong, they tidied up the empty champagne bottles and said goodbye to the last of the strippers.
Bye, Kiki. Bye, Sally Mae. Bye-bye, Barry.
Catch you later, pet.
Just then, the doorbell tinkled and in strode the rude young man wearing a face of thunder.
This script is bullshit,
he said, brandishing the script.
It doesn't make any sense. There's absolutely no follow-up about the poor old woman who gets run over in the first act. And seriously, why did the girl have no teeth? Was it some kind of disease that made people's teeth fall out or what? No explanation whatsoever. Who the hell wrote this crap?
The elves pointed at the old couple, who looked utterly gobsmacked.
Eh?
Was
hang on a minute.
Oh, one does.
I don't know anything
I've never
about
written any
it.
Words in years. I just can't get around to it.
I can't spell. I can't even read.
Well, it's the worst pile of garbage I've ever seen. I was laughed out of the meeting. I'll probably never work in Hollywood again. I demand my money back.
It's all gone,
said the old man.
Oh, dear. Then we've got a bit of a problem, haven't we? You crusty old...
And so, with the script writing shop sold to pay for their debts, the old couple were forced to move in with the elves in their tiny little shack.
I can't bloody believe you screwed us over like this. I mean, who the bloody hell are you anyway?
Oh, this is a funny bit, isn't it? Because did we not tell you?
Didn't we say?
Did we not say we were?
Said the elves.
No!
No, you bloody didn't.
No, you chuffed well didn't.
Oh, you're not going to believe this twist.
We're the failing writers. Pleased to meet you. How did you like it? Merry Christmas, everyone!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Well, that was pantomime, so I guess you could say it's behind us.
Yes,
no, because it's happened now, so it's got. So that's it's like because that's what they're saying. pantomimes. Do you know what we did forget to do, though, in the pantomime?
What did we forget?
We forgot to throw out metaphorical sweets.
Oh,
yeah.
We did, didn't we?
Do you remember?
Yeah, we didn't get anyone up on stage either.
Oh. Well, that's the true art of sitting in a pantomime audience,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Being far enough forward that you are within reach of the average pantomime actor's throw of sweets.
But
not being
too
far forward that you either can get pulled up on stage or the bit where sometimes where they come running out into the audience and climbing over the seats because it's funny. When it's not, it's funny when it's not you, isn't it? When it's you and you can't really do anything. You're not allowed to hit them or anything.
That is frowned upon, I think.
Post U-tree, I don't think they do that as often anymore, do they?
It's probably true,
right.
Less climbing over kids. Yeah.
Still, let's not dwell on the things that we didn't put in the pantomime and instead focus on the things that we did. Put in there. All right. Or we could just move on.
Well,
what else have we got? Because we did say this was a spectacular.
We did.
You can't say spectacular and then just do one thing. So what else have we got?
Is it too late to call it something else?
Can you slip un in front of that just without people noticing?
Spectacular.
Like say the un quietly.
Christmas special.
Un. Spectacular. Just do it like that. I think we go over that.
Yeah. Well, okay, what else have we got coming up on this thoroughly average show?
Well, literally one more thing, like we said at the start, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
We've got our... Because, we do the silly ditties. John started it early doors in the podcast, and I thought it'd be a good idea for the end of the year to have a top 10 countdown. Now, the brilliant thing about this is that I've just arbitrarily chosen them like some kind of music fascist, and you two genuinely don't have an idea what's coming up.
No,
it's true.
Funny, all the ones I did have come out in the...
This is Mark Goodyear, and you're listening to the Top 10 Ditty Countdown. Countdown. Countdown.
Countdown.
On the Failing Writers Podcast. Number 10.
Here's OMJ Ryan. Write about them people dying, or spying, or lying, or trying to solve another crime. He take a page and fills it with thrills, that's his skill. He make up a killer who kills for the thrills, and Phillips will grill all the villains until Ryan be making millions of bills.
I think that was the first one, wasn't it? Wasn't
that's
it
why
first
it got
one?
In there.
Yeah,
obviously,
I think it was.
The quality was quite low, but it was the kind of the first one that set.
It's what began it. I remember being quite excited when that was first. I remember where I was when I first heard that song. I was very excited when that was first released.
Yeah. That was a nice surprise, John. Really, and I think it took Owen by surprise as well, didn't it?
It did. Actually,
he was very pleased, wasn't he, to
nice
have his
reaction,
own little theme tune?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we might have sent him a copy so that now every time he walks into the room, he can play
his own.
Yeah. His own theme tune.
Should do. Yeah.
Number 9.
I'm the Delta 5000 writing machine, manufactured in Korea. Click the big red button here on my screen, and your novel will appear. I'm preloaded with a PhD in your weird human psychology. Don't be scared, I'm not here to take over. I'll just have your house, your kids, your wife, your brain, and maybe your Skoda.
See, I really like that one. That's one of my favourites.
No.
And I really like the ending. But that was the one that I put to the little animation, the computer animation that we had. At the 3D Failing Writers logo thingy. I remember being quite excited about
and
that.
And it was a very interesting element to that. Those couple of podcasts, wasn't it, as well? The whole AI thing.
Mm.
I thought it was a fascinating, fascinating thing.
Yes. Oh, that's because we watched that movie, didn't we? Or listened to that movie. The one that was written entirely by AI, the sci-fi thing.
Yeah,
it was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was incredibly bad, but it was incredible, like, the way that it was put together.
Yeah. I think it's getting a lot better, though, isn't it? Like, noticeably better. And I think that was only a couple of years old. That's the
scary bit. Yeah, well, it was. Quickly, wasn't it?
Number 8.
I started writing, then I had to stop because I needed a poo. Then I got the socks and put all the red socks with red and blue socks with the blue. I didn't write cause I had to pick up kids from the school. It's okay though cause their mic is not some other person's kid, so it's all cool. When I got back home I wrote a bit, but like always it didn't last. I got distracted by me phone checking out the stats about the bloody podcast.
Oh, that's a classic.
That is a classic.
Brings back the memories, though. Do you remember the stupid video?
I do remember the stupid video.
Yeah. You see, that never actually appeared on the podcast, did it?
No, that was a Twitter one, wasn't it?
It was purely promotional.
Like a B-side sort of thing, a non-album.
Yeah, it's a rare B-side, that one.
Yeah, I remember putting that video.
Quite difficult to get hold of these days.
I think that was the first promo video that we did, wasn't it? And I remember thinking, oh, this is it now. Once we get a video out there, because people are into videos, then the numbers are just go through the roof. And I think about 7 people have ever seen that video.
There we go. We brought that to a few more people.
Yeah. So,
if you haven't seen that, it's worth checking out. We should post that again, shouldn't we?
If we remember, we'll repost it.
They're all on our YouTube channel. Which we never talk about.
I forget we have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
So do a lot of people, John.
it's only Dave who's ever seen it. Because he loads all the videos on it.
Number seven.
So Dave's catchphrase...
Oh, did you like it?
Well, how do I put this? We all love a catchphrase. A good old-fashioned catchphrase. A funny little calling card that everyone holds dear. A few little words we all want to hear. Who couldn't love Bart Simpson's Eat My Shots, Man? Or the Chuckle Brothers? To me, to you, we are a fan. And if you're old enough, you'll know Steptoe was indeed a dirty old man. Mr. Humphreys from Are You Being Served was always free. And you'd always get a nice to see you nice from old Brucey. But when they heard Dave's catchphrase, I'm afraid the feedback was not all that. Victor Meldrew doesn't believe it! Baldrick has no cunning plan, and Arnie most certainly won't be back. Such wonderful phrases. You'd say, I never tire of hearing that. So what a shame Dave chose, how do you like it? Because, well, it's just a little bit crap.
Oh, that's one of my favourites, that one.
Yeah, that's one of my
favourites. The halcyon days of Dave's. Emerging catchphrase when that happened. That was wonderful.
There's two things that strike me about that is that I think that's probably the first time I ever heard you sing, Tom.
Really?
Which is quite, what a voice you've been hiding
it's quite
all
moving,
these.
Isn't it?
It is quite moving.
It's upsetting that because I think that's probably about the third one that I did.
Memory is not what it once was. But the other thing I like about it is just the fact that your inability to do impressions didn't hold you back in any way.
No, it didn't at all.
You just
didn't at all.
Went for it.
It all very much hung around the Steptoe and Son impression being barely passable. You don't really get an opportunity to do that these days.
No.
Don't we? It's before my time, really.
Well, do you remember when we used to get, when we all used to work in radio and you used to get demo CDs from voiceovers and there were loads of people who described themselves as the man of 1,000 voices.
Yeah,
you get a CD, you have a 1,000 impressions, and they'd all be exactly the same. See, I always used to admire the confidence of people who would just go, I can do impressions, and send recordings of them doing 1,000 variations of their own voice. And just go, I'll do this for a living, and sending them out. Amazing, brilliant. Yeah.
Because there are people who can do accents, like I can do a few accents, not particularly.
And that's mildly useful, isn't it? We're doing actual.
It is quite useful.
Impression
a proper impersonation is incredibly hard thing to pull off.
And generally useless in local radio advertising.
Unless
you want to get sued.
Well, that's it. If you're too good at it, you can't do it because it sounds too much like the person. If you're not good enough at it, then what's the point of doing it?
No one wants to hear, ooh, Betty, anymore. So
I mean, that was the reason I sang it like that. Was so
So you wouldn't get
into trouble, do you?
Yeah, completely in the clear, Lee. Absolutely.
Number six.
Bum, bum, bum. We're talking to Jimmy McAllister about how you banish the demons who cause malice in the palace of your mind. She's telling us how to be a bit more studious, how not to get whiny and moody if Richard and Judy don't come knocking every time.
That's
that was
one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites.
I think lyrically, John, that's one of your one of your finest. I think there's some good
Thanks, guys.
Good little.
It fitted
in
really
there.
Well with what we did as well. Not that normally they're just random, John. Obviously, but it fitted in really well with.
It
just
yeah, somehow did.
When I heard it the first time, I remember emailing back going, "That is just spot. That is like you've captured the whole thing in the style and everything."
Yeah. I think I might have had COVID when I did that as well, and. For some reason, the slight nasalness of it really worked.
It did, didn't it? Yeah, it helped on that. And I like the multiple layers of your using your voice as an instrument in that as well.
Number five.
Tits, bum, cock and piss, bloody bugger shit, wank arsehole, fuck nugget, donkey bollocks, big baggages, twatty little bitch, cock womble, bastard wanker, cunt of the north, penis breath, eat my schlong. If you're offended by these words, please don't listen to this song. Hey, I should have said that at the beginning, shouldn't I? Oh, sugar lumps.
Tell me you didn't enjoy writing that one, David.
I loved doing that. I absolutely loved doing
it. What a fantastic excuse just to be like a 12-year-old schoolboy.
Yeah, and there were some words in it that I hadn't said for ages. And cock womble. Brilliant. I really enjoyed putting that one together.
Did I do the music for that? I'm vague.
You did, yes, you did.
And I believe Dave dedicated the song to you in its entirety, John.
Yeah.
If you listen carefully, I think you can get a mention in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. So cool.
Number four.
Spoiler alert. Don't listen to this if spoilers make you mad. Like you don't wanna know that Vader is Luke's dad. Like you don't wanna know if Bruce Willis is really dead. And Rosebud is the name of Kane's childhood sled. That body in the room is actually Jigsaw. The silly man shouldn't have cut his leg off at all. In Chinatown, Evelyn's sister is her daughter. Cause her daddy did something that he really shouldn't owe. Spoiler alert. Norman dresses as his mother cause her body's in the loft. The bloke with the limp is really Kaiser Soze.
Fuck off!
The good place is the bad place, that's a cunning little ruse. Miguel's great granddad's not Ernesto de la Cruz. Robbie and Cecilia died during the war. In the old boy, that's his daughter, what's he do that for? But there's only one way I can finish this song. Those damn dirty apes were on Earth all along. Those damn dirty apes were on Earth all along. Spoiler alert.
That was, Jay, that was fantastic, that one.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Just the lyrical depth. You may have been the only one of us that went into do a two-verser.
Proper song, that. It's a full song.
Just so good to listen to. I love ones like that. A bit like the catchphrase ones I did, where it's got that kind of, where it leads you along, so you're identifying stuff as you go through and what have you. And that one particularly, because you've got to kind of join the dots yourself.
But that was another one we've got a video for, if you check out our YouTube channel. And I really enjoyed putting the video together for that.
No one's going to check out.
Well, what was really great about it, right? I spent ages, like, I put the song together and I spent ages putting the video together. And then we released it as like a little quiz to say, oh, how many of these? No one did. No one actually did the quiz to say how many. But
lots of people enjoyed it.
And Mark Boardman, his Twitter handle, I can't remember. But Mark Boardman came and said, oh, I've noticed that you've spelt spoiler wrong. And I said at the time, yeah, oh, there's a deliberate mistake. It wasn't. I hadn't noticed that at all. And like the word spoiler flashes up in the video loads. And I'd spelt
it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I did. Unless I got the L and the I the wrong way around. I hadn't noticed. When Mark said, oh, I've noticed the mistake. Got me. Well,
that's the kind of attention to detail that we pride ourselves on, though, isn't it?
It really is.
last 6 months have just been a lesson in absolute perfectionism, really. So all our listeners will agree.
Number three.
I'm sure there'll be something we forgot to mention. I speak for us all when I say we've run out of bloody questions. You can tell by the awkward little silence no one's filling till one of us breaks it with a hopeful right there. So all that's left is to thank them for their time before they're leaving. Probably say bye a lot more times than he's actually really needed. Goodbye, thank you, take care, to our soul on. See ya, au revoir, bye then, later, spectators.
Oh, they've gone.
I remember that one. It was the end of Queeve's interview.
Yeah. Oh, it was a Queeve interview. The awkward ending.
But, a reoccurring theme. I think that made it up so high in the charts, not necessarily for the quality of the song, but for the reoccurring theme of us being able to actually say goodbye and end an episode.
Actually finish anything. But that's another one. That suited the style of the song, the way it was done, really suited that episode.
Yeah,
the
bounciness and the energy of it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, I really enjoyed doing that.
Probably the most words that we got into that interview, wasn't it?
Quite possibly, yeah.
When Queeve finally stopped talking.
Number two.
When you look into my brain, you will find a lot of tiny little guys all inside. They are the guys who are controlling my mind. You probably have some too. They're pressing buttons and controlling my ideas. They make me eat too much, they make me drink beers. They make me Facebook, make me go to IKEAs. But sometimes they go wild. And it's time for a brainstorm. You got to totally obliterate the fear and have a brainstorm.
Oh, the elves are back.
I love that one. I love that.
That one made me laugh out loud when I heard it.
I still can't figure out what the fucking elves are saying, but I love it. Absolutely love it.
No, I did. I love the concept behind that, John. What a lovely concept.
That's nice.
That you managed to work into it, yeah.
Wasn't that the one when you had COVID?
Are you right? It was.
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice, actually, can't you?
I know.
At the end.
That seems a bit COVID-y.
Yeah,
right.
It does seem a little bit like a fever dream, that one, doesn't it?
I think it was.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
I think I remember when I sent it to you, Tom, saying, I have no idea what is going on today. But, yeah, just, you know, what do you think of this?
Well, I've still got the email, actually. What you think you said, what you actually said was, I don't know if you fell asleep on the Z button or not there, or whether you were saying you're asleep.
I think musically that's one of my favourite ones. That's a night. I like that.
A deserved number two, but that leaves the question, what on earth?
Seriously?
Oh, well, what could be better than that?
Number one.
I wrote to go with silhouettes of ladies in bikinis and guns and helicopters and Aston Martinis and poker chips and girls who are highly trained at not exposing their naked breasts to the camera, and more guns and stuff, and men in trunks looking buff, because 27 Bond films clearly aren't enough. This is for the next one. Golden spies will never die with love.
Yes, what a way to end.
Masterpiece. Oh, do you know what? That's so good. That is so good because it's very well observed, I think. Very well observed.
Yeah.
And it's the only one that's had to have a definitive sound of something. So it had to sound like a Bond.
Yeah, see what you mean?
Yeah.
Just
thing.
Like any old scene.
Yeah. It really does.
Go off
it
whatever
really
we felt like.
Are you saying that? I achieved that?
I think you did.
Yeah.
There's another two reasons why that's at number one. The other reason is probably the best line out of maybe any of the songs we've done. Aston Martinis.
Yeah. Aston Martinis. Like that condense.
Like
you
that.
Can't
like
condense Bond into a smaller package than Aston Martinis.
No,
yeah,
beautiful, isn't it? And the other reason is now that's an official number one. Mm-hmm. Mark Goodyear said it's number
that's
one.
True,
so if
yeah,
Mark
yeah,
Goodyear
yeah,
said it's number
is,
one,
it?
It's
oh,
bloody
yeah.
number one. Oh, isn't my God. Now, that is your way into Barbara Broccoli in the lot.
The number one
to
hit.
Get that in the Bond film. You've got, do you mean when you've got something to put next to it, say, well...
Mark Goodyear said.
Mark Goodyear.
It's been voted number one, by the way, this. Oh, right. Happy memories there.
But that was great.
That was fun.
I think that was... I think we should retract what we said earlier and say that was spectacular.
I think it probably was in the end, wasn't it?
Take the ohms back off.
I think within the context of the rest of the stuff we've done in the last 6 months, it probably it holds it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Comparatively spectacular.
Yeah, I think we dragged it back into the right territory, didn't we? And that was partly due to Mark Goodyear.
Yeah,
thank you, Mark, by the way.
Thanks, Mark Goodyear.
I suspect you're not listening to this, but if you are, we're really, really grateful. That was a very sweet thing to do.
I think that's one of the safest bets anyone will lay this Christmas
period. I like to think that Bruno Brooks is listening to this. Hi, Bruno. Listen to this right now. And Pat Sharp. Hi, Pat. How are you doing? And they're going, how the hell did he get that gig? How's he got that gig?
They're all rubbing their
hands. Why is it always Mark Goodyear for the countdowns? Why don't they ask us?
They're all thinking,
tough luck, lads.
Next year.
You want to be on next season?
Next
Give
year.
A shout, but we can't guarantee anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get in line, no,
Mark's
Brooks.
Mark's in now, isn't he? He's in with us.
Yeah. But that was spectacular. But like you rightly say, Tom, we're not going to end there, are we?
We've got so much stuff for the end of season spectacular that we've had to put it into two separate episodes. So all these people were getting back into interview that we were meant to just be talking to for 2 minutes. It was kind of the idea.
Yeah.
And then, that's not really happened that much. Yeah. So they're a bit longer. So we decided to split it into two. Double the enjoyment for New Year's because there's nothing, people will be off work. They'll be sick of their families.
Yeah.
Fed up at Christmas. Mm. As soon as it's gone past Christmas, it's all a bit like, ugh. Two episodes is a blessing,
gives you an
isn't
excuse
it?
To get out the house, walk the dog, have a listen.
Exactly.
And I think all of the best Christmas specials are two-part affairs, aren't they? So
bring them on.
Bring them on. But do you know what? I'd like a Christmas present this year. Christmas is almost upon us. And what I'd like for Christmas is a little review. I know we say it all the time. We have had some lovely reviews. But just one more. If you're thinking, what can I do for someone in need this Christmas? Give us a little review.
It's gone very charity at this, isn't it?
I mean, there are more charitable things you could do this Christmas. But, this won't cost you anything. We're not asking for £2 a month.
Now you're saying that, Dave. Now you said that out loud.
Although we could send you pictures of how we're getting on. Yeah, send us £2 a month and we'll give you a picture of
our
progress.
You could adopt us. Do you want to adopt us?
We're not fucking pandas.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, Tommy.
For just £5 a month,
failing writer,
you'll get a letter from Dave as well as a cuddly toy of Dave. And you'll be helped sponsor him for failing to write.
Pay him and he'll stop writing.
Yeah. What an offer that is.
Don't know about you guys. I'm feeling that the episode ended a little while ago. This is probably going to be the bit at the end. It's got that bit after the music feel to it, hasn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, anyway, I think all that remains
is for Dave
really
to do
an
exceptionally
us.
Long goodbye when we've already kind of said goodbye. But he's going to pop back in.
No, this is
roll it all around.
This is
again.
Important, isn't it? Because we need to say,
guys,
thank
I'm literally
you.
Like halfway out the door now. It's been great. I'll see you later, guys. I finished my drink.
I'm just going to say Merry Christmas,
Merry
you
Christmas.
Miserable swines.
Merry
Christmas,
Christmas.
Everyone. And, a Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening. Love you all.
40 years in the business, and I'm reading out numbers on the Failing Writers podcast.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?